From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis on the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. My name is Jenna Gibson. I'm the Associate Director for Communication Technology and Programs at KEI. This week is our second episode to feature one of our 2015 Korean American Day honorees. As part of KEI's annual celebration of Korean American Day, we honored Korean Americans who have made strides in sports. In this episode, KEI Senior Director Troy Stangerone interviews Chim Peck, two-time Stanley Cup winner and now the coach of South Korea's national hockey team. Jim was the first person of Korean descent to play in the NHL when he joined the Pittsburgh Penguins in 1990.
This week on Korean Context, we're honored to have Jim Peck, one of our 2015 Korean American Day honorees. Mr. Peck, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm real honored to be awarded this, and it's a great feeling and a great opportunity for me.
When you were young, you moved from Seoul, Korea to Toronto at a very young age. So has hockey always been something that's been a passion for you, or is it something that you took on, but there were other things that you might have done as well?
Well, growing up in Canada, everyone plays hockey. My older brother started to play hockey, and you want to do what your older brother does. And I just fell in love with the sport. Everything we did as kids, it was, you know, soccer was foot hockey, not soccer. And, you know, hand hockey and those type of things were on our knees with mini sticks. So my whole childhood was revolved around hockey. So that's how I grew to love the game.
So growing up in Toronto, would that make you a Maple Leafs fan then? Or,
you know, I was a Maple Leafs fan. My brother was a Canadiens fan, and I was a Maple Leafs fan. I could rhyme off all those players. Now I can't tell you one, but the truth.
Well, it's always nice to have a little internal family rivalry in sports.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the great things I think about Korean parents is how dedicated they are to their children. And often, you know, a lot of the focus is on education. And that sometimes means athletics, you know, gets put to the wayside. How supportive and what kind of role did your parents play in your career, both as a young adult and, you know, moving into the pros?
You know, without my parents, I wouldn't be here today doing what I love to do. I have two sisters and a brother, and they're well-educated. They're doctors, lawyers, and in the medical field. And education is very important. But I was very fortunate and blessed that my parents saw a little talent and potential and pushed me into that direction and supported me 100%. But, you know, as I signed my first contract with the Penguins, my dad says, make sure you go to university and get your degree. So in that contract, my first contract, I had an education package. So when I retired, that I'd be able to go back to school. I haven't gotten there yet, but so that's how important education was to my family.
But it sounds like a wise father to make sure that you had an option too if things didn't go well.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you can do anything with an education. So that was very important to him.
When we think of athletes and everything, we often think of sort of the great moments, you know, a winning goal, you know, raising the Stanley Cup, these kinds of things. But it actually entails a lot of difficult work in getting there. So what was your life growing up in terms of, you know, how much you played hockey, and then what was it like as a pro athlete in terms of the type of work you'd have to put in?
It was 24/7. Once I realized that, oh, hey, I might have a chance, I might have an opportunity to reach my goal, to achieve my dreams, and then it just revolved around hockey. Everything was around hockey. A little taste of what I used to do, get up in the morning, get a hop on my bike and ride around for 2-3 hours, then go to the gym for 2-3 hours again, go to the rink, skate with some guys, come back home, and then go jogging at night with my dad chasing me behind with his bicycle. So that was my day. And, you know, got to the point where, well, maybe if I eat with my left hand, that'll help me on the ice. So, but the most important thing that, you know, my coach said was be smart in school. Work hard in school, that will help and translate on the ice. And I tried to do that, and I guess putting everything together, it worked out well.
When did you know then, when was that moment, or what was that moment that you knew, like, this could be real, I have this opportunity to do this?
You know, when I get drafted into the OHL, the Ontario Hockey League, by the Oshawa Generals, I was one step closer to getting drafted into the NHL. And, you know, before that, it was, maybe. But you really enjoyed playing, and it kept you out of trouble. But at that moment, it was, I might have an opportunity here.
So you were the first player of Korean descent in the NHL. You're the first Korean-born player to take and raise the Stanley Cup. What does that mean to you after all the hard work you've put in to get there?
You know, as I look back, it was fantastic to represent the Korean country and the nationality. Being Korean, to be the first to raise the cup, to be the first player to play in the NHL, it was fantastic. I look back again, and I worked hard. I support from my parents, but I was a hockey player. You know, they drafted me. I played because I was a hockey player, and that was important to me.
What did it feel like? I mean, when you won that first cup, what was that moment like?
It's a childhood dream. Like when you're on the street playing road hockey, it's always the seventh game, final period, and you're scoring the winning goal and you're raising the cup. And that was a dream come true. And to hoist that cup over your head, it was light as a feather. And it was, you just imagine the best thing that ever happened to you, times it by a million. To achieve your goal and dream is something special.
One of the other things that I think sort of stood out to me that I realized, looking over your career, was that you had an opportunity to play with some very great players in your time. Mario Lemieux, Jamar Jagr, and of course, the great one, Wayne Gretzky. What was it like playing with them, and what were you able to take from their game to add to yours?
They're great leaders. Great talent. God came down and touched them and said, you guys are going to be hockey players. And sure enough, put that talent aside. They were fantastic people. Great leaders, great captains. They really took care of their teammates. And I think that's what I grabbed from them, because I can't touch their talent, but you watch them and you try to pick up little things. I remember watching Mario and him scoring some goals, and I just sit on the bench and just shake my head. How did he do that? What I take away from those guys is their leadership and their character.
After your playing career, you transitioned into coaching. What made you want to move into coaching, and what types of challenges did you face in terms of transitioning from being an athlete to coaching athletes? I mean, we've seen oftentimes it'd be a difficult transition for some pro athletes. So what do you think were the key factors for you?
It was a tough transition for sure. You think it would be an easy, hockey's hockey, but it was, you had to know the game. You're constantly, the hamster's always going in your head. You're driving home, you're with the family, you're thinking of lines and thinking of different players. As a player, you're responsible for yourself and preparing yourself. As a coach, you have to prepare your whole team, 20 players, 23 players, and you're constantly worried about them. How can I make them succeed? Different scenarios, different situations, counterpunching the other team. So your mind is constantly going, and you have to be a student of the game and know the game in order for you to do that. So a lot of video work. I thought it would just be like a player. You go for a couple hours. No, it's... And you can ask my wife, I'm constantly on that video machine looking at different systems, and I watch the game totally differently now. I watch it as a coach and not a player. So a lot of things have changed, but I love the game. I love teaching, and that what makes all that hard work and time and sacrifice to see your players that you've coached play in the NHL now. You look at the Detroit Red Wings, I've been with that organization for 9 years, and you see all the players that I've coached and gone through Grand Rapids, where I was, and play in the National Hockey League and have success. And that's a real shot in the arm.
Are there any few who specifically stand out to you that you're really proud of? Maybe people who had skills but hadn't quite put it together that you were able to help sort of, move them along that path?
And there's a lot of those special players that you, you watch and you see Jonathan Erickson, Jimmy Howard, Darren Helm, Andre Nestorsol, that just, he just made it to the NHL, which he was never supposed to. Brian Lashoff, who was a bubble player that really listened and worked hard, that's playing in the NHL. Jakob, the list can go on, all the players, but, they're all special to me. I really love those kids, and well, they're men now, but, to see them succeed is really great.
Now, as a player and a coach, you've had a significant impact on hockey in Korea. The Jim Peck Hockey League, which is now the Halla Premier League, was named after you. What do you see as your role in sort of helping to build hockey in South Korea and raise its popularity?
When I first started playing junior and started hockey, I've always wanted to help Korea develop. And at one time, it was on the boom. Then the economics dropped and, so we lost a lot of teams and the popularity kind of fell because it is an expensive sport. But over the years, we've always tried, the Jim Peck Hockey League, Jim Peck Hockey, which we try to export equipment and did everything for hockey to Korea. My father and I, from hockey schools to building rinks, anything to help develop. But as the years went on, it slowly died. But here is an opportunity again to raise the popularity, and I'm real excited about it.
Do you see hockey becoming more popular amongst the younger generation in Korea?
It is. I think, and I truly believe, if we have some success at a national level, that the popularity will grow. You see what happens with the World Soccer. They were in the Final Four. The popularity just took off. You see the women golfers. They've won on the tour, and that's taken off. The baseball players. And so I think if we have some success, That'll for sure cause some excitement.
You're now the coach of Korea's national hockey team, and you're looking forward to Pyeongchang Olympics in 2018. When you were first approached about the job, what were your thoughts? Did you have any concerns because of sort of the lack of tradition of hockey in Korea? How did you see it?
Well, the first concern was time away from my family. For me, that's the most important thing, is my family. Being with them, and I have a daughter that's 11 and a son that's 9, to be away from them for a long periods of time, that was going to be hard for me. So that was a tough decision to make. But my wife and children are very supportive. They're all excited for me, and this is I call an exotic adventure. It is once in a lifetime opportunity. And I think the Lord put this in front of me and said, let's take this and run. I had no idea what I would run into with the Korean hockey on their structure, on their development. I watched a few games, saw some holes, but I was just pretty much going in blind, in a sense, because I was not familiar with their structure of hockey. But now I'm getting a little more familiar. There's lots of improvements, and there's lots of things they've done well. But we just have to keep moving forward and prepare ourselves for 2018.
Having grown up in North America and now sort of transitioning back into Korea, have there been any challenges you found as a coach, either relating to the players or, just sort of moving them into maybe more of a North American system?
That's been tough, because I assume a lot of things. I assume that they understand what I'm talking about systematically, but they haven't been educated. I'm used to a high standard of play in North America, and they're not familiar with that. So that's the biggest challenge right now, is to get them familiar with I call it hockey language. There's English, there's Korean, and then there's my hockey language, which they have to understand. And so if I yell out a example, 2-on-2, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's the communication part. Is I'm working on that. I'm trying to get better in my Korean. But I think once that happens, I think they'll understand the game better and have a purpose.
You had talked about a little earlier that, hockey is an expensive sport. It's one of those things where you need resources either as a parent or even as a league. We've seen in the United States trying to develop even Major League Soccer, resources are an important issue. Do you see a role in Korea for perhaps, you know, the corporate sector coming in and helping to support youth hockey or other aspects of the game?
You know, and I think as the popularity grows, I think a lot of companies will come through. The Hala Group has done a great job with supporting hockey. You know, we have help from around the world, talking with the NHLPA regarding a program to help underprivileged kids with equipment. So the world is trying to help develop our hockey. The companies, the people in Korea are slowly developing and trying to help our development also. And I think, again, as we have success, it'll grow tremendously.
As you look forward to the 2018 Olympic Games, what type of progress would you like to see the team make? And, you know, whether you coach after the Olympics or your term ends then, what would you hope ultimately your legacy would be as the national team coach?
There's such a fine line where you have to prepare 3.5 years for the Olympics, but also you want to carry on that development for 10, 20, 30 years down the road. So hockey has a great foundation in Korea, and that's what I want to have. For sure, there's that instant success that you need, but also that long-term of growth and development and education of the sport, because it is a fantastic sport. Once people grab a hold of it, I think they'll be real excited and supported. So hopefully after the Olympics, we'll have some success, and then it'll grow and grow and grow until, you know, why can't we do it like the Americans? Why can't we do it like the Canadians also? So that's my hope, that will happen.
Well, Coach Peck, thank you for joining us on Korean Context.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm truly honored.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again next time.